Are you excited about what God's done for you? I am. I'm excited that I'm saved. I'm excited that I'm able to be in the house of God this morning. I'm excited that I'm in a church where you can feel the Holy Spirit. I want to say this, the altars of this church are always open. If you're here and God deals with your heart, I tell you what you need. You need to move. God's knocking on your heart's door. If you don't know that you're saved, I wouldn't leave without getting it right. If you're here and you got problems and you hadn't turned them over to God, you can. If you're here this morning and God's calling you to do something, you might as well just give in and do it. Sometimes people come tell me, they say, well, I believe the Lord's calling me to preach. I say, well, run if you can. Okay? Because if you can run, you're not called. That's just the way I feel about that particular subject. Sometimes God puts so much on me, I say, Lord, what am I going to do with all this? I'll tell you what we need to do. We need to obey Him. Amen. See, nothing done here is about us. It's about Him. And we want to lift Him up. Now, do you love the Lord this morning? Amen. Yeah. Amen. I love the Lord. Now, I'm going to read some scripture. I'm going to try my best to just follow Him. And I was thinking about this subject this week. I love the Lord. And I think about what God's done for me. And I think about Jesus and what He means in my life. And sometimes I think about what He could mean in the life of others if they would let Him. You see, there's so many people that are in trouble. They're in trouble in their heart and their home and their life, and they just won't allow God to do what God can do. And I got to thinking about the Lord, and I thought about what they did to Him, and I want to preach this morning on this subject, who crucified my Lord. You ever think about that? I want to read this scripture, then I want to try to just share with you the thought that God has given me that I've been developing this week and just share the thoughts that I have. But it's in John chapter number 19, and I want to read starting in the 16th verse, just to the 18th verse. Now, folks, there's so many verses. It's kind of like sometimes I begin to study a topic, and the more I study, the more I realize. I say, God, that's just more than I know what to do with. Can I tell you that the Word of God is alive? Okay? And you understand the Word of God by studying the Word of God, and I begin to look at this, and it was way too big for me, and He simplified it for us. So look at these verses. It says, then delivered He Him, therefore, unto them to be crucified. Now, this is Pilate delivering Jesus unto the people. It says, and they took Jesus and led Him away, and bearing His cross, went forth into a place called the place of a skull, which is called in Hebrew Golgotha, where they crucified Him, and two others with Him on either side, one, and Jesus in the midst. You see, Jesus hanging between two thieves was crucified. What a terrible, cruel way for a person to die. Much more cruel than anything we would even consider in America today. But they killed Him. They crucified Him. And that's my Lord we're talking about. Now, when I begin to think about it, who was it that crucified my Lord? And I begin to go back and look at so many people that were involved. And the first one that I want you to see was Judas. You remember Judas? How that he said, Jesus said that, you know, these that are with me, he said, but one of them's the devil. One of them walked with me, but there's something in his heart that was not right. It was Judas. You see, it was Judas that betrayed the Lord. It was Judas that went in to the political and the religious leaders of the day, and he counseled with them for 30 pieces of silver that he would turn Jesus over to them. And Jesus was in a certain garden, and when Judas came, he walked up to the Lord to kiss Him and betray Him with a kiss. And I thought about what Judas did. Now, you read in one place, I want to tell you, now, folks, this is still God, okay? You read in one place where they walked up to Jesus, and when Jesus said, whom seek ye, immediately they all fell backwards on the ground. But Judas, when he spoke to Judas, he said, betrayest thou me with a kiss. It's like walking up and putting your arm around someone while in the other hand you have a knife and you run it right between their ribs into their heart. And that's what Judas did. And I thought, well, if Judas had not betrayed the Lord, if he had not done what he did, they wouldn't have crucified my Lord. But then I read on and I found that that wasn't true. You see, then I went and I found when they took Jesus and they bound him, they took him to Annas. Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, and Caiaphas was the high priest. Now, here's what I want you to understand, that when they took Jesus before Annas, Annas was, as we would have it, the spiritual leader or mentor of the day. You know, a lot of times a pastor will be pastoring a church, and can I tell you that even pastors have pastors? You see, I have heard the story of pastors who was the pastor emeritus of a church. And I mean, he would be the senior pastor, or maybe the retired pastor. And I just want to tell you how I feel about that. That man needs to be loved. That man needs to be cared for. That man needs to be taken care of because of the wisdom that he has in his life. And can I say this? The older I get, the more I appreciate older people. I do. I mean, I'm just to the point I'm realizing, y'all know, even now, I'll tell y'all young people, I know y'all smart and all that. Y'all might want to leave home while y'all know everything. Because when you get a little older, you get a little older, you realize you don't know quite much as you think you do now. You know, I thought I knew something, but the older I get, the more I realize, Brother Billy, I appreciate older people. Now, here's the thing I want you to understand about that as we look at it. When I thought about this man was the man that should have had enough wisdom that when they came to him, he would have known what to do. You see, Annas should have known the Holy Scriptures. In fact, he spent his whole life studying them. He was the mentor to Caiaphas, and he was the spiritual mentor of the day. He should have been able to tell them from the Old Testament all the way through the stories, because the New Testament, folks, had not been written at the time. He should have said, you ought to see Jesus right here. You see Jesus when Moses took the lamb up on the mountain and said, the Lord will provide himself a lamb for a sacrifice. You see Jesus when you read the book of Ruth. You see Jesus when you go through the whole Word of God. But he didn't. What they then did is they took him after they had smote him upon the face and after they had ridiculed Jesus, they took him to Caiaphas. You see, Caiaphas was the high priest of the day. And he had already given counsel to the Jews that it was expedient that one man should die for the people. You see, here he is, the spiritual leader of the day, and this is sad, but this is true. He was completely incompetent in regards to the Word of God. Can I tell you that I've had people tell me about going to church, and they say, our preacher, he'll stand up and he might read a verse from the Bible. He might not. What he'll do sometimes is he'll just talk about people getting along, and he'll talk about what we're doing in the church, and he'll talk about the activities in the church. I want to tell you what's missing in America today is we need some old-fashioned, foot-stomping preaching of the Word of God to where people would realize that it's the same way today as it was in the days of our fathers. We played a song just a little bit ago. I heard that thing this week, and we were going down the road. I told Kendra, I said, play it again. The song was, If These Old Walls Could Talk. Do you ever go back to the churches where you grew up and remember what it was like? And you know, the Bible talks about over there in the Old Testament, the sounding again of a mountain. You know that the rocks, it's been proven that they absorb sound. Sometimes I can't help but wonder if one day God's going to allow the rocks to speak. Didn't he say if these should hold their peace, the rocks will cry out? And you're going to hear the words of the prophets and the testimonies of those that have gone before us. And we were there. If these old walls could talk, what would you hear? You know, I thought about Brother Tommy when I heard that song that you gave your testimony. You remember the night, brother, when you were in church and you were holding on to the pew and you didn't want nothing to do with Jesus. Didn't want nothing to do with him. Do you remember that Christian? Do you remember that person that now loves Jesus? Do you remember that, the one that says, who crucified my Lord? Remember when it was you? You know, sometimes I think about it. And here's Caiaphas, completely incompetent in regards to the Word of God, and he ought to have been teaching them. He ought to have been speaking to them. He ought to have been giving them direction. He should have been telling them what to do. But they persecute. They bring in false accusers, and they accuse the Lord before Caiaphas, and they mock him, and they ridicule him, and they spit upon him. Well, they're bad. Then the Lord showed me something else. Maybe it wasn't Judas. Maybe it wasn't Annas. Maybe it wasn't Caiaphas. Maybe it was Peter's fault. So why do you say that? Remember what the Spirit and the Scriptures teach us, that when they took Jesus, although Peter took his sword out and he cut off the servant of the high priest's ear, well, Jesus just reached down, picked it up, and put it right back on. He said, I don't believe that. Well, you may not be saved, because you got to be able to believe the Bible. If he can create you and I from the dust of the earth, and he can go into heaven and create a place for us, and he moves at the speed of thought, not sound, not light, but the speed of thought, he can put your ear back on. Well, Peter saw this, and the Scripture says that he followed them afar off. Well, here's Peter, he's following them, and he comes to a place where they look at him, and they say, you were with him. Peter says, no, not me. Not me. He comes to another place, and they look at him, and they say, we know you. You were with Jesus. Peter says, not me. The third time when they look at him and they say, your speech betrays you. We know who you are. And he denied the Lord the third time with a curse. Have you ever thought what might have happened if Peter ran in among them and said, stop what you're doing. Stop doing this to my Lord. I was there. I saw the lame walk. I was there when he gave sight to the blind. I was there when he came walking on the water and I stepped out and I walked to him. I was there. I saw what he can do. This is my Lord. But Peter denied him three times. We can't blame Judas. We can't blame Annas or Caiaphas or Peter, so I had to keep going. You know, when they were through with him after he suffered an all-night cruel trial of mockings, after Peter had denied him, simply the Lord just turned and his eyes met Peter's eyes. You know, sometimes that's all it takes. Sometimes when you've hurt somebody, all it takes is looking into the eyes of the one you've hurt, knowing that you were wrong. Scripture says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. They took Jesus from there and they took him to Pilate. And when Pilate saw him and he found out that he was from the jurisdiction of Herod, they sent him to Herod Antipas. He was the ruler of Palestine. Now, if you read the Scripture, you see that Herod had heard about Jesus, and he had thought, when he heard about what he was doing, he said, John the Baptist has come back from the grave. And then he said, no, it's one of the prophets. Surely the things that he does, I must see this man. So he had desired for a long time to see Jesus. And when they took Jesus to him, he was excited. You know why he was excited? It's a lot of times when people come to church, they don't come to worship. They want to see what's going on. They want to observe. Sometimes, and I've even seen this, they want to make fun of you when you worship. There have been times I'm up preaching, somebody giggling, hey, look at him, look how funny he's acting. I want to tell you something, I love being filled with the Spirit. If you don't love the things of God, one day you'll stand before him and you'll remember every time you mocked him. Well, Pilate has Jesus standing in front of him and he hopes to see something. He wants him to do a miracle in front of him. And every time he speaks to Jesus, Jesus is silent. So what they do, as Herod brings in all of his men of war, and they begin to mock Jesus. They place a gorgeous robe upon him, and they march him around, and they laugh at him, and they mock him. And after Herod is tired of him, he just says, send him back to Pilate. You know, we'd like to say that who crucified our Lord? Well, Herod had the authority. Remember, he was the leader. Come from a line of leaders, he had the authority to say, this man's done nothing wrong. Even after he mocked him, but he didn't stop it. He sent him back to Pilate, who was the procurator or the governor of Judea. And when Jesus stood before Pilate, one famous thing that Pilate said when Jesus said unto him, when he asked the question, Jesus said, these words are truth. Pilate said, like many in America today, that don't know the difference in right or wrong, that have become reprobate in their thinking. They say, what is truth? Pilate said, what is truth? Well, can I tell you, as just a side thought, there is such a thing as absolute truth, and Jesus is it. Truth is not a statement, it's not a thought, it's not an idea. Truth is Jesus Christ. And as Jesus stood before Pilate, and Pilate questioned him, he said, aren't you going to say anything? Don't you know that they want to kill you? And as Pilate is there dealing with Jesus, his wife comes to him, and she said, I have suffered many things in a night. Tonight, this night, in a dream because of this man. And she said to him, have nothing to do with the death of this just man. You see, Pilate right then, he could have released Jesus outright. You see, and it was customary at the time that they would release a prisoner unto the Jews. So he took that effect and he began to try to place before them the worst criminal that they had. And as he stood before them and they rejected and they rejected, here's what Pilate did. He took a pot of water and he stood before the people and he did this in mock fashion. And by the way, can I tell you, this doesn't work. There comes a time when you have to stand up for what's right. You can't know about it and say it's not me. You can't say I'm washing my hands of it. Sometimes you got to stop it. And Pilate stood before the people and he washed his hands in mock fashion before them, before the multitude, and he said, saying, I am innocent of the blood of this just person. And then he said this, see ye to it. What does that mean? That means crucify him. Now, when I looked at it, I thought, well, Pilate, it's Pilate's fault. Pilate could have stopped it. But no, it goes on. You see, the next ones, the ones that were there, the ones that cried out to Pilate, was the Jewish mob. You see, the Jewish mob, when Pilate stood before them and he brought Barabbas. Now, the scriptures say that Barabbas was guilty of murder and sedition or robbery. Mayhem. He was like the worst criminal. And when Barabbas stood before them and then Jesus on the other side, they said, give us Barabbas. In other words, give us the world. Let us have the criminal. Well, what about Jesus? They said, away with him. And I want to tell you something else they said that grieves my heart when I think about it. They said, well, what about Jesus? They said, let his blood be upon us and upon our children. And when they said this, you know what we like to do? We like to say it's the Jews. The Jews crucified Jesus. They rejected the Messiah. They rejected the Savior. You see, Luke 23:21 says this, but they cried saying, crucify him, crucify him. Sometimes people blame the Jews. Sometimes people hate the Jews. That's why there's so much anti-Semitism, and I can't understand this because I want you to understand something. It goes on. Folks, it wasn't the Jews who crucified my Lord. Was it Judas? Was it Annas? Was it Caiaphas? Was it Peter? Was it Herod Antipas? Was it Pilate? Was it the Jews? Then I thought about this. Who actually drove those nails? Who crucified my Lord? You see, when they took Jesus out and they turned Jesus over to the soldiers, they took him into the common hall and they stripped him and they put a scarlet robe upon him. Now, here's what they were doing. And even Pilate, he went and made a sign that said in Greek, King of the Jews. And he hung it up over his cross, and they crucified him, calling him the King of the Jews. But I want to tell you what the soldiers did. They put this robe upon him, and then they plaited a crown of thorns. You ever went out and you see those briars that just cut? When I'm working out, I look for those things. But they took a crown and they plaited it, and they pressed it down into his head. You study it and you look at it, it even goes to the extent they mocked him, they sped up on him, they beat him. They even plucked out his beard. Then they took him and they marched him up Golgotha's hill down the Via Dolorosa. They threw him down upon the ground, upon the cross. And they drove a nail through each hand and through both of his feet. And with a crown of thorns upon his head, they stood the cross up and let it fall into the hole, and his flesh tore. It was the soldiers. Or were they just following orders? Or were they cruel? Oh, they were cruel. But as I begin to think about it and I look at who crucified my Lord, I kept going. And then I thought about that cross. See, Jesus was on the cross between two thieves. That cross was there for somebody else. That cross was there for Barabbas. See, Barabbas was guilty of murder. He was guilty of robbery. And Barabbas was supposed to be on that cross. So I look at Barabbas and I say, it's Barabbas' fault. Barabbas is the one who caused my Lord to be crucified. It was his fault. It was his cross. Have you ever seen anybody suffer at the expense of somebody else? It happens today. It happens to people we love. It happens to people we care about. And I want to tell you, sometimes when I see it, it makes me angry. Can I tell you, church, I love you, and when I see you suffer because of what somebody's done to you, it makes me angry. It makes me angry when I see mamas and daddies come in here and fall in the altar and cry out to God and say, Lord, please help my children. And the kids are out living like the devil, and mama and daddy crying out to God. Makes me angry. When I come in here to celebrate recovery and I see young girls cry, and they talk about what somebody done to them, and you try to tell them about the Lord, and they can't understand the concept of a loving father, because every man that's ever been in their life was some kind of an animal. Makes me angry. When I look at the cross and I think that Jesus Christ, the Lord of glory, hung on a cross that was supposed to be hung on by Barabbas. But it goes on. It's not Barabbas' fault either. Who crucified my Lord? Was it them? Or maybe it was something else? So I want to go to Acts chapter number 3, verse number 12. And the story starts off with a lame man. He's healed. And the people look at it and they want to give honor and glory to Peter and to John. And Peter begins to tell them what really happened. He said, when he sees the people, says, when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people and said, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Or why look ye so earnestly at us? See, by our own power or holiness, we've not done it. It says, as though by our own power or holiness we made this man to walk. It says, the God of Abraham, of Isaac, and of Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his son Jesus, whom he delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desired a murderer to be granted unto you and killed the Prince of Life, whom God hath raised from the dead. Wherefore we are witnesses. And his name, and through faith in his name, hath made this man, the man that was healed lame, strong, whom ye see and know, yea, and the faith which is by him hath given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. And now, brethren, I know that through ignorance you did it. Through ignorance You crucified the Lord, as did also your rulers. But those things which God before hath showed by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ should suffer, he hath so fulfilled. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. And he shall send Jesus Christ, which was before preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive in the times, till the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You see, Annas and Caiaphas, they should have seen who Jesus was. But if they had seen who Jesus was, they would have also seen what had to happen. But it was hidden from them. You see, when Jesus was on the cross, there were seven cries that came from the cross. And one of them, when he was on the cross, and there were certain women, not many, but there were certain that were around the foot of the cross and that watched from a distance, and they cried. And they wept. And he said this. He said, "Weep not for me, but weep for your children and your children's children. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry?" Now here's what that means. If they're going to crucify Jesus after they saw what he did, after they saw the miracles, after they saw the service, after they saw his compassion, he spoke like no man that had ever spoke before. What's going to happen in mine and your day? Amen. And when I begin to think about it, and I thought about Barabbas, I finally realized who crucified my Lord. It was me. It was me. See, I'm the one that put Jesus on that cross. You see, in 1 Corinthians 5:21, it says this. It says, "For he," speaking of God the Father, "hath made him," Jesus Christ, "to be sin for us, who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God through him." You see, today we call him Lord and we call him Savior, and his name is precious to us. We call him friend. But there was a time, and there's probably a time for somebody here this morning, that the name of Jesus is an offense. See, you don't call him Lord, he offends you. This kind of preaching offends you. Talking about him offends you. Talking about the blood and being washed in the blood and saved by the blood, it offends you, because now when you know him as Lord and Savior, you say, "Who crucified him?" I tell you who did. We did. Yeah. See, because before we called him Lord, we called him an offense. See, the Old Testament points to the new, and it points to Christ. In Zechariah chapter number 13 and verse number 1, the prophet Zechariah writes of a day, and these are prophetic verses. I want to give you two verses out of Zechariah chapter number 13. It says, Zechariah 13, 1 says, "In that day there shall be a fountain opened in the house of David and to the inhabitants of Jerusalem for sin and for uncleanness." John 21, it's fulfilled. John 1:29 says, "Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world." That's the fountain that was opened. It was Christ. You see, when Jesus was on the cross and they pierced his hands and they pierced his feet, they came around and it was customary to break the legs. Because in crucifixion, the way a person would die is they would not be able to push themselves up to exhale air. They'd die of carbon monoxide poisoning. But when they got to Jesus, he was already dead. You see, the Old Testament said that too. It said, "Not one of his bones shall be broken." But what they did do is they took a spear and they pierced his side and they opened that fountain of the house of David. And it was a fountain for the cleansing of sin and uncleanness. Now, when I read farther and I saw this verse, and this is really the verse, the text verse that's on my heart and my mind, in Zechariah 13:6, it says, "And one shall say unto him," speaking of Christ, "What are these wounds in thy hands? And he shall answer, those which I was wounded in the house of my friends." And when I read that verse and I understand who Christ is, I realized truly it was me. You know, the prophet said that it would happen. And as Peter is speaking to the people, he tells them what to do. Tells them to repent. You see, the song we played a little bit ago, the audio was not very good on it. It's an old song by the McCameys, and it says, "Who put the tears in the eyes of the Lamb? Who crowned the head with thorns till it bled of the great I Am? Who put the nails in His loving hands? Down through the years, down through the years, who put the tears in the eyes of the Lamb?" You see, he said, if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? You see, it wasn't Judas the betrayer. It wasn't Annas the religious zealot or Caiaphas the serving religious leader of the time. It was not Herod. It was not Pilate. It was not even the Jews, the mob. Stop blaming the Jews. It was not the soldiers, and it wasn't Barabbas. It was me. It was me. See, I call him friend, but those wounds came from a friend. See, it was my sin that put Jesus on the cross, but I want to tell you this. It was my sin that put him there, but it was his love for me and for you that held him there. You see, he could have called angels, and they would have come, and they would have fought. But his kingdom is not of this world. See, what he did is he took upon himself all the sin of those people, all the sin of all people that have been born between then and now. He took upon himself all of my sin, my past sin, my present sin, my future sin, and all of the sin of the world. Here's what I want you to understand. Already been paid. Just got to come get your ticket. See, it was me. My sin put him there, but it was his love for me that held him there. And it was my repentance that made him my friend. See, I put those scars in his hands. Now, here's the question. Who is crucifying Jesus today? You say, I wasn't there. I didn't do it. I want you to understand something. Your understanding of time and events is very, very, very limited. See, God lives in the past, the present, and the future all at the same time. I know you can't understand that, but God's a spirit. Bible also says they that worship Him must worship Him in spirit and in truth. I'll tell you who is crucifying Jesus. It's every person that sits in a church like this one and hears this kind of message and says, "Away with Him." Yeah. So here's what you can do. You're either going to do one of two things. You're going to bow at His feet and worship Him, or you will crucify Him. See, what did Peter say to them? And you go to the second chapter, and they see a story where Peter is preaching. And as he preaches to them, second chapter, 36th verse, says, "Therefore let the house of Israel know assuredly that God hath made that same Jesus, whom you have crucified, both Lord and Christ." Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart and said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" Brother Keith, y'all go ahead and get ready to come sing. What shall we do? It's almost like an astonishment. Their eyes were open, the scales fell away, and they realized Jesus is the Son of God. He's the Messiah, and we've crucified Him. What shall we do? In the 38th verse, Peter said, "Repent." Acts 3:19a, the first part of the verse says, "Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out. And I want to tell you this, and then what I'm about to tell you is for everybody. It's for everybody. It's for every person. It's for every nation. It's for every kingdom. I don't care what your nationality is. I don't care what your past religious convictions or your beliefs are. This is for everybody. You need Jesus. He died for you. And you will do one of two things. You will either bow before Him and worship Him in this life, or you crucified Him. Now the question is, what are we going to do? See, every time we deny Him, every time we reject Him, every time we turn our backs on Him, what are we doing? Every time we mock Him, I'll tell you what we need to do, church. He's my friend. He's my Lord. He's my Savior. He's more precious to me than anything else. As we should worship Him. Would you stand to the feet, to your feet, if you would, as they sing? God spoke to your heart and you're here. I don't know what's on your heart or your mind, but I'll tell you this much. Jesus Christ right now is on the right hand of the Father, and He's making intercession for you and I. And I'll tell you what He wants to do. If you're lost, He wants a relationship with you. He wants to know you. Say, well, I'm not sure I understand that. If you feel that knock down inside of your heart and you just don't know quite what to do, would you just come down to the altar and let somebody that loves you put an arm around you and pray with you? You can pray right where you're at. Somebody told me just a few minutes ago a story about how one of their loved ones was saved sitting at the table. I know people have been saved driving down the road. Man told me the story. He said, God just overwhelmed me. He said, I surrendered to God. He said, I got to crying so bad I couldn't even drive. Just had to pull over. But you're in church this morning. I love church. Tell you what we do in church. We have an altar. And we have people that pray with you. You're not by yourself. I don't know what to do. Just come say, I don't know what to do. You know what God says? He takes over. All He's looking for is a candidate. You hear this morning, you got troubles, you got problems, you can join the crowd. But I tell you what we can do. We can break it down here, and we can leave it right here. Yes. Go ahead, play your song. God spoke to somebody. Would you move this morning?